Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10 this morning. Luke chapter 10 this morning. We're going to read verses 38 through 42 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. As you're finding your place, if you would, in honor of the Word of God, if you're able this morning, if you're not, please stay seated. But if you're able, stand up as we honor the Word of God, as we read the Word of God together this morning. Luke chapter 10, and then beginning at verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the opportunity, as I pray many, many mornings, to hear the Word of God preached in freedom in our country. Please help us not to take it for granted. Help us not to think about other things this morning, but to what you have for us through this passage, through our preacher this morning. God, use the Word of God to help us. And Father, if there's someone here, it's already been prayed, if someone's here and does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray before they leave, or if they're listening on the internet this morning, they would settle it this morning and trust Christ for their Savior. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, we ask that you sit very still. Listen now for a few moments. Can I ask you a question this morning? Is there anything permanent anymore? If you think about it, it seems like nothing is permanent. You come to church, you're feeling good about the day and how you're going, and the associate pastor tells you you need a facelift. And all of a sudden your spirit is crushed. Your self-image is ruined. You're no longer in touch with your inner child. And you can't identify with your feminine side anymore. I ain't got one of those. You know, it's amazing, isn't it? Does it seem like, no, you think, oh, this will last forever, and it doesn't. Relationships, life, health. Does it seem like anything's permanent anymore? It seems like you turn around and what you had planned didn't come about. What you didn't want did. Now, the message this morning is to address to you and give you things that cannot be taken away. Mary and Martha, sisters, they had a brother named Lazarus, by the way. They lived in a little town called Bethany. It's about 5.5-6 miles from the city of Jerusalem. Here in Luke chapter 10 is the first time Jesus comes to their house. Because Martha, it's her house. It's three adults now, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And it's Martha's house, the Bible says, and Jesus came there, and she knew of him, and she invited him to come to her house. When Jesus gets there, Martha immediately goes about to prepare a meal. Seen a lot of cultures, when you go to visit somebody, the first thing they do is feed you. I love those cultures. Yankees can learn a thing or two from some cultures. We had a Russian couple visit us one Sunday, and the next Saturday, we stopped by to visit them. We didn't call or anything. We just dropped in, knocked on the door, and the man answered the door. And I said, I'm Pastor. He said, I remember you, Pastor. I said, forgive us for dropping by unannounced. We just wanted to stop by and say thank you for visiting him. He said, please come in. Walked in the house. Got in the front room. His wife came out of the kitchen, and she said, hello. And I said, hello. I give her my Russian. I know a little Russian. Dobro, torkakdala. She thought, you speak? No, I don't speak Russian. That's enough. That's all I know. And then we spoke a moment, and then she went back in the kitchen, and she's in there, pot and pan rattling, stuff going on. And I said, did we interrupt your breakfast? I'm sorry. He goes, no, we had breakfast a long time ago. She's going to make you a meal. I said, no, that's not necessary. We just stopped by to say hello. He goes, no, she has to do this. I said, okay. So we sit down. I don't want to offend her, you know. I don't want to break anybody's heart. She was in there for a half an hour. She came out. She had potato pancakes with jam and eggs. And can I get a witness on that this morning? And eggs and tea. And we sit down and we had a whole, I felt terrible kind of, because, but that's the culture. Some cultures, you go to the house, they immediately start cooking. They don't do that, you know, here's a peanut and hang around for an hour. Man, they get into it. And that's what Martha's doing. Martha, Jesus comes to the house. She's in the kitchen preparing. Now, please listen. She's in the kitchen preparing the food, and her sister Mary is just sitting in the front room. After a few minutes, and now, you understand, most of where Jesus went, he didn't go by himself. He had a bunch of people with him. So she isn't just preparing finger sandwiches. She's getting a meal for a whole lot of folks. And her sister is sitting in the living room doing nothing but listening to Jesus. And she gets all wound up about it. Martha, she comes out of the kitchen. The Bible says she was cumbered about much serving. Now listen, this is a good lady. And she comes out and goes to Jesus and says, Lord, I'm in here preparing all this food and everything else, and my sister's doing nothing. Now, I want you to look at your Bible this morning. And she said, tell her to come in here and give me a hand with this thing. Verse 41, and Jesus answered and said unto Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Verse 42, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. And that last statement of verse 42, here it is, which shall not be taken away from her. He said, Martha, what you're doing is a good work, but what Mary's doing can never be taken from her. So yes, the answer to the question is, yes, there are some things that are permanent. Look at me. There are some things, listen to me, friend, if you get the right things, that cannot be taken away from you. Oh, Pastor Johnson, no, that's not true. I was having a good day and a lot of joy and happiness in my life, and then one phone call and the day was ruined. Now, I'm not promising you every day will be sunshine and flowers and everything. I'm not promising you that. I'm simply saying this. What Jesus told Martha that Mary had chosen was something that could never be taken away from her. He's trying to teach Martha what is the real proper things of value that could be permanent in life. See, after a while, we can get a little squirrely. Well, nothing's for real and nothing lasts. And that's, no, I'm sorry. A lot of things are not. We're not going to stay young. Our health is probably not always going to be perfect. There's not always going to be all the stuff that you... I'm sorry, but there are certain things that can be taken away from us. Right now at home, somebody could have broken your house, stole everything you own. Don't panic. But it's true. Have you ever had somebody steal from you? Take something from you? That aggravates me more than anything on this planet, besides slow drivers. That aggravates me more than anything on this planet when somebody comes and steals something. It's not because I'm possessive. It's because it's not their stuff to take. And you turn around and it's gone. Yeah, and you turn around and that family that you were always with, they're not there for a while. Your kids do grow up and eventually leave home. That's a blessing. But your grandchildren don't stay small. Before you know it, they're teenagers. Then you look at them and go, who are you and what'd you do with my grandchild? Things get taken away. Yes? But Jesus said, Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not, cannot be taken away from her. What was it? Well, look at verse number 39. Keep your Bibles open. It says, and look at the verse, please. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. I'll tell you what they can't take away from you. The presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Please listen. Didn't say she was in the room. You know how people are nowadays? You're in a room full of people. If anybody's under the age of 40, they're on their phone. Always on their stupid telephone. No matter what you're doing, no matter what it is, they're always on their phone. They're looking at their telephone all the time. You drive by cars and you see people in the car, mom, dad, kids in the back seat. Everybody except dad, thank God, is driving, is not on the phone, and sometimes he is too. Because you can't even sit down and have a meal without somebody taking out a phone. They're not even, they're in the room, but they're not even paying attention to one another. The average person doesn't even have a meal with their family anymore. No meals. People just come and go. It's like you're living in a cafeteria or something. It wasn't, listen to me, it wasn't that Mary was in the room. It was she, the Bible said, listen, she was sitting at Jesus' feet. Now, that's a Hebrewism, an expression among the Hebrew culture. You see, when a number one student of a teacher was recognized as a number one student and wanted to be the number one student of that teacher, they sat right at their feet. Remember the Apostle Paul, the Bible said before he was a Christian, he was named Saul, and the Bible said he sat at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel considered one of the greatest law teachers in the history of Israel, even to this day. And Saul sat at his feet. He was his number one teacher, and he wanted him to be, Gamaliel, to be his number one teacher. He wanted to hear everything the teacher had to say. He wasn't trying to put himself in front of anybody. He wanted to be so close to the one who could give him the truth that he wanted it. He was set right at his feet. When I say the Lord's presence, my friend, cannot be taken away from you unless you want it to be. But if you want to get close to Jesus and you want to sit at his feet, you want to be close to him. Now notice that's Mary's number one choice. She sat at Jesus' feet. In other words, friend, if you want the presence of the Lord in your life, you can have that. Our problem is we're too busy in the kitchen. We're too busy about life. We're too busy about what we're doing. We're cumbered about with the burdens of life. Say, well, we can't help it, Pastor Johnson. That's just how life is. No. No. That's how you live your life. We live our lives full throttle, wide open, always doing something, busy, cumbered, and burdened, and then wonder why we're stressed, we're depressed, we got problems, we got difficulties, we can't get through life. Look at me, friend, because Jesus, he is willing to let us come and sit at his feet and get as close to him as we want to, but we're just too cotton-picking busy. Isn't that true? But can I ask you a question? Whose fault is that? I don't believe that God meant for our lives today to be as involved and as plugged in as they are. I really don't. But see, here's the deal. Now look at me, friend, look at me. But it's our fault if we let it be like that. I was telling my class this morning, when I mentioned we were preaching in Mexico, and we flew out of Mexico into Dallas, and then there was a problem with the plane, and we changed planes, and we flew to Phoenix, Arizona, then from Phoenix, Arizona to Sacramento. So for a good portion of 10, 12 hours yesterday, we're in airports with people all over the place. And I was aggravated because they postponed us, they delayed us, I was trying to get home and na-na-na-na and everything else. And so I wasn't what you would call in a good mood. Oh, here's the better expression. I wasn't in a good place. No, Dallas and Phoenix is not a good place. That's not home. And the more they delayed and put me off, the more aggravated I got. And after a while, I thought one more dude messes with me and they better have major medical because we're going to have it right here in this airport. Say, well, Pastor Johnson, it wasn't your fault the way the day went. Nope, had no control over the way the day went. But finally, when I got on an airplane, I was on three different airplanes. I got on an airplane. I got my Bible out. It was me and him for a while. They can't take that from me. No, they don't. Now, look at me. See, our problem is we don't value that. What we value is what others do for us. What we value is what we get from people. What we value is what we gain or gather from this world. What we value. See, we run to that. Hey, immediately the first thing we do when there's an issue and we're burdened about with life and we're cumbered about with much service. Hey, Martha's not a bad woman. You understand it? She's a good lady. She has invited Jesus to her house. And she's doing culturally what is expected of her. And listen, she's trying to be a servant and a helper. Let's not knock Martha now. She's a good lady. The problem is she didn't choose the good thing. Ladies and gentlemen, she's in the kitchen and Jesus is in the front room. Where do you think you ought to be? Well, someone has to prepare the meal. I agree. Someone has to take care of stuff. I agree. We have to go to work. We do. Please tell that to about half of America. You have to go to work, okay? Yes. Because, see, you're paying for the other half who won't, all right? So let's do that. So, yeah, we got to go to work. Hey, look at me. We got to go to work. We got to do the do and don't the don't. We got to do the stuff. But why is it the Lord Jesus Christ and his presence in our life and his working in our life, why does that always go first or last? Goes first in our life or puts last on our list. Well, when I get time, she's sitting at Jesus' feet. Now, question then. Can you have the presence of the Lord in your life? You understand that means you're his child. You're a child of God. You're a Christian. Hey, you don't choose the terms of fellowship. He did. Calvary proves that, the cross. You come to the cross, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now you can have fellowship. Now you can sit at his feet. Got way too many religions today who are making the terms to go to Jesus' feet. You join our church, you do a good work, you live a good life, you get baptized, you do this, you do that, and then you can come. No. You come to Christ, then you can sit at his feet. You accept him as your personal Savior, you have salvation, then you can come and sit at his feet. Martha, listen now, had received him into her house, but she wasn't sitting at his feet. Some of you, you've received Christ as your Savior. You know salvation's yours. You know that. You know you've settled this thing in your life. But is his presence real to you? Well, Pastor Johnson, there's so many things in my life right now. I know that. I hear about it anyway. My life's not like that. I got no problems. I got no troubles. Everything's smooth sailing. So I can identify with you and your issues. Yeah, I can too. I know what that's like. It's not about some stupid airport either. It's just about life. It's about the stuff of life. But ladies and gentlemen, if you want to sit at his feet, he's available. Come unto me, Jesus said. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly, Jesus said, and you shall find rest unto your souls. You know what rest in the Bible means there in Matthew 11? It means a break, a respite. He does not promise you an escape from your problems and your stuff. He promises to give you a lift. He promises to give you a respite. He promises to give you a little bit of restoration so you can get back in that harness and keep going. But you got to come and get in the yoke with Jesus. You got to get at his feet. But no one can take that from you. Please don't depend on someone else for it. You can have that. Hey, you can have that if you want. Because just as much as Jesus was in the front room with Mary and Martha was in the other room, that's how it is for many people in their life. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, good news. Jesus is alive. Oh, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Oh, good news, my friend. He still desires for you to be close to him. It isn't that we can't. It's that we just got too much stuff between us and him. What cannot be taken away from us? Verse 39. Look at that statement. It said, she sat at Jesus' feet to do what? And heard his word. Oh, look here. They can take the possession of your Bible from you. I'm always amazed when you go to church and someone steals your Bible. And I always say, what do you do with a stolen Bible? Do you read Exodus 20, thou shalt not steal? I mean, I'm amazed. People steal people's Bibles. And I think to myself, some of you are not getting it. Okay, just stay with me. Maybe you got a stolen Bible and you're feeling guilty. Sometimes I go preach somewhere and people ask you to put your signature in their Bible with your life verse. I can't tell you how many Gideon Bibles I've signed. Those Bibles they put in a hotel. And I think, you realize that? No, never mind. All right, whatever. They stole a Bible from a hotel to go to church and read a stolen Bible. I don't understand that. Anyway, okay, look here. They may take this copy of the Bible from you? We were going to preach down in the Central Valley and stopped in a restaurant in Sacramento to eat. Somebody, we had our clothes and stuff in the back. My briefcase was there in the back of the car. And somebody, while we were in there eating, smashed the back window. And instead of stealing the clothes because it was too much stuff, they just grabbed my briefcase. Nothing ruins lunch like somebody stealing your stuff. And they came to the restaurant. Do you drive this silver Highlander? Yeah, that was me. Went out there, glass all over the place, reached in, boom. First of all, thank God they didn't get my golf clubs. Thank God for that. But they did take my briefcase. And I have a Bible. Brother Evans bought me this Bible back when we were in Bible college. I've had that for 35, 36 years. I've preached all over the world with that Bible, that particular Bible, and it was in that briefcase. And I thought, it's gone. That grieved me more than anything. I had my tablet, electronic tablet was in there, my notes for preaching, all my calendar, everything else. I can replace it, but I could never get that Bible back again. It was gone. And honestly, I grieved. It hurt me. It was painful. We went ahead and drove down to the place to preach that night, told the church about what happened. I said, pray that somehow or another I get this back. I thought, you know, the chances, they're going to look in the briefcase, see a Bible, some notes, throw in the trash can and keep on moving. Got done with the service that night on my phone. There was a man in his car next to me. They broke into his car and stole all of his stuff, his clothes, everything. It was a businessman flying in the area there was by the airport. I'd given him my number in case something happened, and I had his, and I got a call on my phone. I have your briefcase. I called him back. I said, yes. He goes, yeah. I said, is the Bible in there? He goes, yes, it is. And I thought, glory to God. He said, no, the other, some, there was a, he said there was a tablet in there, electronic. He says, gone. I said, I don't care about that. I said, but my Bible, I got my Bible back. The thieves who broke in there saw what was in there, and instead of throwing it out, they put it by a Starbucks so someone would pick it up. You see, they had respect for the Word of God. No, they stole stuff. Don't give them any points, okay? No credit. But they did give me my Bible back. Okay, they can steal the copy. But you look at me. That word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. They can't take that one. Oh, no. During the Vietnam War, when some of our military there, pilots and stuff, were captured by the North Vietnamese and put in prisons and beaten and tortured horribly. While Hanoi Jane went over there, they should have shot her for that. She's a traitor. These poor men were locked in cells for 24 hours a day. But every now and then, they let them get together. And when they did, the first thing they did was try to put together as much Bible as they could think of. Because, see, they couldn't take that from them. Look at me, friend. You can't take his word away from a Christian who has it, look at me, hidden in their heart, put into their life. Well, I tried to do what the Bible said, and I got all kinds of trouble. No, you stopped. You stopped doing what the Bible said, but they didn't take it away from you. His word, the precious word of God in our lives, and what it means to us in our lives, they can't take that from us. They just can't do it. In countries in the world today where they'll kill you if they get you with a copy of the Bible in your hands, they still have the Word of God. They still preach the Word of God. They still declare the Word of God. Do you know why? Because you can take the copy of the book, but you can't take the book from the person who has it in their heart and in their life. No one can take that away from you. I'm sorry, but you see, they can't take the encouragement of God's Word from your life. Don't you do that when you need some encouragement. Don't you quote scripture to yourself? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Don't you do that? Don't you quote Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Don't you do that? Haven't you used the word of God and drawn on its strength and its encouragement from you? Life, oh, and by the way, most of the time when we're going through some real battles and struggles and difficulties, but you know what? Life was tough, but it didn't take God's word from me. It didn't take the promise of it. It didn't take the encouragement of it. It didn't take the Bible away from me. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, when you said things that couldn't be taken from me, I thought you were going to talk about like a car that couldn't be stolen. Or we bought a new car here a couple weeks ago. And they have this thing now where no matter where your car goes, they can find that. You only have to pay another $50 a month. I thought, if I have the car for 5 years, I could have bought another one if they stole it. I mean, it's insane to me. But the truth is, you want some permanent stuff in life, material things? How about a permanent relationship? Well, you can have a permanent relationship with the Lord. But ask our widows and widowers this morning about a permanent relationship. Huh? And their loved ones in heaven now. Are they gone? They're just not here. And by the way, and you haven't lost them because we know where they are. Yeah? Huh? Oh, you lost your mother. No, you didn't lose your mom. She's a child of God. We didn't lose her. We know where mom is. Mom is with Jesus. But see, then we don't have the earthly relationship. That's not permanent. But the promise that God gave us about them, that's permanent. You understand? Ladies and gentlemen, say, well, Pastor, okay, the presence of Jesus in the Bible. What else? Can I ask you a question? Should there be anything else? Can there be anything else? In your thinking, that's your problem. See, your life is upside down, topsy-turvy, ripped apart because you're still trying to depend on something that isn't for real. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Kept in heaven for us, the Bible says. Reserved in heaven for you, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Couldn't take the encouragement promise of the Word of God. If you sit at Jesus' feet, then you hear His words. Number three, you know what couldn't be taken from Mary? The prospect of Jesus' return. This is the first time Jesus came to their house. He will come a few more times, and then He comes a time again after that when Lazarus dies. 4 days Lazarus lay in the grave. Mary and Martha are grieving the loss of their brother. Jesus comes back. And both of the ladies came to Jesus and said, you know, Lord, our brother's dead, and if you'd have been here, maybe he wouldn't have died. Jesus gives them that great promise of John 11 about the resurrection and the life. And then He went out to the cemetery and tore the whole funeral up. 4 days Lazarus lay in that grave. Jesus said, roll the stone away. And Martha says, behold, he stinketh. Teenage boys, that's your life verse. Behold, he stinketh. And they rolled the stone away, and Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Had He just said, come forth, there'd been a massive resurrection at that moment. The power of Jesus Christ would have raised all the saints of God from the grave. When He called him by name, just Lazarus came out. Boy, Jesus could ruin a funeral. He really could ruin a funeral. And Lazarus came forth. Guess what happened after that? Not long after that, Lazarus is risen from the dead. He comes back to Bethany. Jesus goes to the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And now, here is Lazarus raised from the dead. Woo! A crowd shows up for two reasons. They want to see Jesus, and they want to see the guy that came back from the dead. The Bible says some of the religious leaders of the day wanted to try to put Lazarus to death because it was such a powerful testimony of the Lord. Can I define stupid for you? A big D-U-M-B? Put him to death? Jesus just raised the man from the dead. What are you trying here? That's how religions are so crazy sometimes. Because see, Jesus returned to their house. In my Father's house are many mansions, Jesus said. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where you are, where I am, there you may be also. They can't take that away from us. Yeah, but it's been 2,000 years and people always anticipated the return of Christ. I'm sorry, I'm not getting hung up on who didn't see His return. I'm believing this. I'm believing this with every fiber of my being. I'll see Him come in my lifetime. Now, I don't know that. I'm not making a prediction of the return of Christ. Everybody that's done that's failed. I just can't believe we're going to be here too much longer. I don't mean in the building. Though some of you are checking your watches. It's 12:03 and I know I'm past time right now. But doesn't it encourage you that Jesus is coming again? Doesn't it though? Just the thought of the whole concept of His return. They knew Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They lived so close to Jerusalem. Jesus passed there so often. They knew eventually He would come by. They knew He would. And they looked for Him to come. Are you looking for Jesus to come? I'm looking for Him to come. It'd be good. Hey, it's the end of the month. Rent's due. It'd be great if He came now. He's coming. And I know he's coming. And they can't take that away from me. And so when times get burdened, and you get burdened and cumbered about with the things of life, and you're burdened down with the things that life brings to you, doesn't it encourage your heart to think that in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the last trump of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain will be called up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm sorry, but that encourages me. That helps me in my life. We say, well, I already know that. Yes, and it can't be taken away from you. They can make it illegal to talk about it. They can do whatever they want to in this world in life today. But they can't take the promise of his coming from me. And they can't take the fact that I am looking for the trump of God to sound. And in a moment, everything's different. It's all good. And everything's going to be all right. And those loved ones I missed that were gone, I'll be seeing them then. Oh, my goodness. They can't take that away from us. No, they can't. See, Pastor, keep going. Is there something else here? Excuse me. If his presence and the power of his word and the promise of his coming isn't enough to help you have some solid, permanent confidence in life of something that can't be taken from you. Look at this preacher this morning. Look at me. Then I can't help you. Sit up, young people. Don't slouch over. Sit up, please. Thank you. Then I can't help you. You understand? I can't help you. And the Lord can't either, because your hope is in something that's not going to work. Because, my friend, just about everything else ain't permanent. But Mary chose, and there's your issue. Mary chose what couldn't be taken away from her. Will you? Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.